All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to welcome Dr. Posey and Mr. McNeil to the commission. Sam, welcome back for another term. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Mike Leffler, Southern Flounder Fisheries Management Plan co-lead. Next to me is this amazing woman, Ann Markwith. She's co-lead with Southern Flounder with me. She's out of the Wilmington office. Today, we're going to be brief, and you won't hear that very often with Southern Flounder. But we're here to present you a brief review of the Commission's preferred management strategies as sent to the Secretary and Legislative Committees for review and to ask you to vote to select final management strategies and adopt Amendment 2 to the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan. On June 6, 2019, the Marine Fisheries Commission selected its preferred management strategy for Amendment 2 to reduce fishing mortality in the commercial and recreational fisheries to a level that ends overfishing within 2 years and allows the SSB to increase to between the threshold and target within 10 years. This will be accomplished by a 62% reduction in F in total removals in 2019 and beginning in 2020 via 72% reduction in total removals. For the commercial fishery, the harvest season will close by proclamation following the August 2019 Marine Fisheries Commission meeting and reopen with the following season dates. For 2019, under the 62% reduction, the northern area season is suggested as September 15th through October 13th, the central area September 15th through October 17th, and the southern area September 15th through November 2nd. And then in 2020, the commercial season's under 72% reduction, as the division identified would be for the northern area, September 15th through October 6th, the central area, September 15th through October 11th, and the southern area, September 15th through October 20th. It's also important that removal of all gears that target southern flounder from the water, such as commercial and recreational commercial gear license anchored large mesh gill nets, or make the gears inoperable, such as the flounder pound nets. These are necessary in areas and times outside of seasons implemented where southern flounder discards are likely to occur. We will allow exceptions for the shad and the catfish fisheries. To meet the 62% reduction for the recreational fishery in 2019, the recreational hook and line gig harvest season will close by proclamation following the August 2019 MFC meeting and will not reopen until the identified season in 2020. Upon closure of the recreational hook and line fishery, the recreational commercial gear license large mesh gill net harvest season will also close, as the recreational commercial seasons must both be open to allow this gear to occur. In 2020, the recreational seasons were under 72% reductions. This would allow an August 16th through September 30th recreational hook and line and gig harvest season. It will also allow recreational commercial gear license large mesh gill nets to operate from September 15th through September 30th, or dates selected that would allow overlap. And I want to take a second to discuss with you or explain to you why the division has looked at closing the recreational fishery and allowing the commercial fishery to reopen this year. The intent of this is to maximize the seasons for both. And what I mean by that is the recreational fishery is already occurring. The commercial fishery is already occurring. However, the peak harvest for the recreational fishery is July and August. So that's right now where we're having this meeting, right? So if we look at closing the recreational fishery at the end of August of this year, that equates to about a 44% reduction, okay? If we close the commercial fishery at the end of the week or the 1st of September, and we allow that fishery to operate during the selected season, September 15th through the end date for the particular area, we'd be looking at about a 47% reduction for the commercial fishery. So very close. And the reason that works out that way is because the commercial fishery peak season is usually in the end of September and October. We're nowhere near that yet. So to give you an idea, on the commercial side, the estimates right now, and of course the data after May, so June, July, and August are not finalized, but we're at about 137,000 pounds right now, estimated on the commercial fishery, right? Estimates for the recreational fishery are putting us at levels right now. MRIP data just came out through this wave, and we are just about even with 2017 harvest levels as of this time in 2017. So that's why the closure to the recreational fishery is recommended, and that's why an opening of the commercial season is recommended following the seasons that have been suggested. The Marine Fisheries Commission preferred management strategies also include several non-quantifiable management measures to minimize the likelihood of creating derby fisheries and to make a seasonal closure more effective in constraining the harvest to anticipated levels. The first measure is to reduce the commercial anchored large mesh gillnet soak times to single overnight soaks where nets may be set no sooner than 1 hour before sunset and must be retrieved no later than 1 hour after sunrise the next morning. And the Neuse, the Tarpamico Rivers, and the Albemarle Sound areas that have previously been exempt. The second measure is to reduce the maximum yardage allowed in the commercial anchored large mesh gillnet fishery by 25% for each management unit. This would allow a maximum of 1,500 yards in management units A, B, and C, and a maximum of 750 yards in management units D and E, unless more restrictive yardage is specified through adaptive management outlined through the sea turtle or sturgeon incidental take permits. And finally, the last measure is to prohibit use of any method of retrieving live flounder from pound nets that cause injury to released fish. So no picks, gigs, gaffs, spears, or other puncturing devices. And if you all remember, there are several carry-forward options or carry-forward things that will come from Amendment 1, Supplement A, and through other measures. So first we'll outline those items carry forward through Amendment 1. Those management measures are including restrictions that limit the number of days per week and the amount of yardage allowed for large mesh gillnets in various areas of the state. They include a minimum distance between gillnet and pound net sets per rule. And finally, a recreational minimum size limit of 15 inches total length. In addition, the Marine Fisheries Commission Preferred Management Strategy has items carried over from Supplement A from Amendment 1. These items include a commercial minimum size limit of 15 inches, a minimum mesh size of 6-inch stretch mesh to harvest southern flounder from a gillnet, and a minimum mesh size of 5 3/4-inch stretch mesh for flounder pound net escape panels. And finally, the carryover from Addendum 28 from the NENC Fishery Management Plan for Interjurisdictional Fisheries to maintain compliance with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's Summer Flounder Scup and Black Sea Bass Fishery Management Plan. The recreational bag limit of no more than 4 flounder per person per day is maintained in Amendment 2. So with adoption of Amendment 2, what are the implementation plans and next steps for the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan? And they are. After adoption of Amendment 2, the division will implement the selected management strategy through the Director's Proclamation Authority. Adoption of Amendment 2 authorizes development of Amendment 3 to begin immediately after adoption of Amendment 2. Amendment 3 will be developed with the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan Advisory Committee. Draft Amendment 3 to the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan is scheduled to be presented to the Marine Fisheries Commission in the fall of 2020 for approval to send out for advisory committee review and public comment. And final adoption of Amendment 3 is scheduled for 2021. And that concludes our brief presentation on the MFC's selected management strategies. And with that, Ann and I will be happy to take any questions.
Okay, questions on the presentation. Sam.
I've actually asked this question before, but I just want to get everybody on the same page. I'm curious about, you know, why we have avoided trying to calculate the reduction in terms of implementing a slot size. And we've talked about this before, but maybe just to get everybody on the same page, why that's not one of the we're not here with that today.
Sure, and I think that all comes back to the timeline that we were under with development of Amendment 2. We had a year to get started on this project. It really came down. We began working with the advisory committee. There was a bump in the road. We requested to have this by February of this year. So we had a very short, constrained time frame. That did not allow us to investigate some of these other options that we are going to pursue in Amendment 3. So the most viable option for implementation with the reductions that were necessary was seasonal closures.
Doug.
I'd like to ask the director a question. If this plan does go through as I presented, can we not offer an amendment to consider slot size being included in it at this time or not?
I don't think we have the data. I think that's what Mike is referring to. We need to flesh that out to see what the equivalencies of reduction would be using a slot size versus versus what we've put forward. Unless it's just a top end, a top size limit or something.
Well, what I was getting at is we couldn't, so we, as an additional measure to this, we couldn't already go ahead and consider a slot size, adding it now and just, I mean, if it's the right direction. I mean, I know we're going to discuss it later and whatnot, but you're saying we shouldn't or couldn't or what?
I'll defer to Mike, but I think your minimum size would still have to be 15. I mean, your minimum would still have to be 15, and then whatever you decided is your upper limit. Is that correct?
Okay. Other questions? Cameron.
When we do our reductions on our percentages, why do we essentially treat it as two separate? Like, why do we separate the user groups for total percentages? Why do we not say, here's our total harvest for 2017, right? We know we need a 62% reduction. Why don't we reduce, take out 62%, look at what's left, and divide that in half between the user groups? Why do we, what's the basis for that?
So I think the easy answer to that is, so on our end, we're looking at the numbers and we're looking at the science behind it and what reductions are necessary to rebuild the stock. We're not as concerned at our level with how we allocate those landings across user groups, right? That to me falls to your level, your table, right? So we provide you with the information at the volume of reductions, and we've done that. We've looked at based on the historical landings from each of the individual fisheries.
And so our 60, maybe Steve, maybe you can, but our 62 and 72, do you have flexibility in how you divide that? I mean, do we have any flexibility in that, how that's divided up, those reductions?
I think what we're looking for is a 62 and a 72% reduction in harvest of these fish.
Right.
So, and like Mike said, these are broken down by the historical landings and the percentage of each fishery, basically. So a 62% reduction in the recreational is less of a reduction than a 62% reduction in the commercial fishery. Is that correct? That's really up to you. I'm not sure if we can calculate on the fly there, but I mean, it's up to you how you want to allocate that. Same goes with gear, right? I mean, we tried to treat this fairly across the board on, based on the historical landings, and didn't really pick winners or losers as far as gill nets, gigs, pound nets, tried to split it all equally. So,
right, but I guess my concern is that we're saying it's an equal split, but you know, let's take the past 10 years. If the commercial harvest mirrored the recreational harvest for the past 10 years, it'd have already equated to 50% reductions for 10 years. So we've got really the contributing factor here by a factor of two is the commercial effort, but the recs are taking the exact same reduction that the commercial side has taken. We're both taking a percentage. They're taking a 62. We're taking a 62. I can't see the fair and equitable in that. Maybe it's just.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think we're using the historical landings over time, and then taking the reductions based on that. Of course, this is all based on the stock assessment was on a 2017 terminal year, and so that is key to a lot of things. But you know, ultimately, our goal is to reduce the number of fish being harvested to allow more to get offshore so they can spawn. So you know how that's allocated and you know who gets what. That's ultimately up to this commission, I think.
Okay. Other, Robert?
Yeah, this is just a clarification regarding the size limit. So I know Virginia has an 18-inch minimum limit, and we're 15 inches. Is that because the larger fish are the females, the breeder fish?
So I think just to clarify that, the Virginia limit on flounder would be for summer flounder at their 18-inch size limit, and this is the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan, right? But you get into the complexity because we did conservation equivalencies with ASMFC because we manage flounder as flounder in North Carolina. So we dropped our bag limit to accommodate a smaller fish size, right? And so that's where the difference in size comes from Virginia and North Carolina.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Sam?
I guess this is a question. You know, the stock assessment, the original North Carolina stock assessment was rejected, right? And we had to make it a multi-state stock. And I just want to know, I know the directors talked with the other states. I'm curious about the temp, how are they feeling about what we're doing here? What's the temperature of the mood, I guess?
So I think they're waiting to hear what happens today. As I said the other day, we have a meeting next week with them at the end of the week. And we've asked them to come to the table with, you know, in their intent and plans. We do have if, you know, that kind of falls in a pile, we do have the ability to go to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and present to the policy board for multi-state management. That's been done successfully and unsuccessfully over time. Black Drum was a fishery that or was a stock that was picked up by ASMFC, but Kingfish was also brought to them as a an interjurisdictional candidate, and that was rejected. So it has a lot to do with, what that commission decides. So, you know, I think they want to see what you guys are going to do, and then I think they'll probably come to the table. I know they're concerned. Most of the state biologists that we've talked to and the directors are concerned, but they all have very different political realms than we live in, and we are the only state that has a mandatory requirement to take action when overfishing or overfish status is there. So,
hey, Doug.
When we get ready to put this thing into motion here in a minute, you know, the biggest issues I have or basically how it got fast-tracked, just like Mike just said a while ago, they didn't have time to present or gather other options to include in the consideration of the division's recommendation. They just simply didn't have time, like a slot limit, other things like that. So, you know, as we move forward, that's a huge concern on all these FMPs. You know, it becomes more of a concern on this one because we really didn't get the stock assessment back till January. Now, we'd been working on it, and we knew it was coming, and we basically knew we were going to have to do something, which we should. I'm not advocating not taking appropriate measures to make this turn around, but the timeline was expedited by a commission meeting, actually prior to when some of us got there, and now here we are having to vote on management amendment that, you know, some of us have doubts about, some of us have issues with some of the sites, but I mean, I think they've done an incredible job with what they presented. But I think had they had more time, we might have come up with more options. But, you know, the largest loser in this, and we're really not losers because we're going to recoup it somewhere down the road, but are the user groups. And, you know, I think there's a huge misunderstanding in the general public, especially by the comments that we get from the public and opinions and whatnot of how this is going to be regulated and what caused it. I mean, the causes are we've just kicked it down the road so daggone far we should have acted earlier, but that's heretofore in the past. But to understand, each side needs to understand that basically we've gotten to this point not only because of the amendment, but because of a bill that was basically passed in the legislature with the 2-year recovery with the, 2-year overfishing with the 10-year limit that in essence was never designed. I don't even think it was even considered to be looked at for a multi-state species management plan. I mean, I think that, you know, if it was just something that we were trying to recover here on our own, within this time frame with the division's framework and whatnot, that, you know, that should apply. But I don't think it was ever designed to that. I think it's a horrible bill. But either way, we've got to act within it. I just think that, you know, there should be more consideration put to what I'm going to call the human factor on both sides. Recreational fishermen want to catch their fish this fall, and the commercial fishermen need to know what they can and can't do and be able to catch enough fish to survive this fall. And I just I wish there was a way we could lessen the burden in a very short window to get a better gain from all the user groups and all the people involved on both sides. So I'm going to make a motion.
Ready?
I'm going to move that we temporarily postpone the vote to the November meeting, and that we propose a 52% reduction at that time and do the corresponding math that would work out down the road. And in doing so, we instruct the director to consult with the other states to get a definite plan of action that they have in mind and come back to us with those results in November so that we would be better versed, I guess, in information to proceed therefore forward.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. I don't think you've got it all up there yet.
We just postponed it to November.
Mike.
We postponed the vote till November, and we instruct Director Murphy to consult with the other states and get a concrete answer, if possible, on what they're going to do. I'm not changing a 52% reduction instead of 62.
Okay, is there a second to this motion? Okay, second by Sam. Okay, it's coming on up there. Now, keep in mind this substantially differs from the division's position, so it will take a supermajority. Does that reflect your motion? Okay. Okay, seconded by Sam. Any discussion on this motion? Like I said, it will take a supermajority.
Does this... I don't understand how the reductions... Is there any detail on... I mean, how do we make sure that we're meeting our requirement? I mean, that was the whole place where we got. Because that was with it going into effect on this year. If we finish this fishing season, in theory, won't it be 52 and then, like, a moratorium next year? I mean, isn't that the only way we're going to make the number?
Then we'll have to come back with new numbers. And that's why it substantially is different from the current recommendation.
All I'm trying to do is give lessen the burden of an immediate shutdown, like I'm afraid everybody's going to be screaming about on both sides. Give them time to react. Give them time to plan for next year. And whatever we got to do to make the numbers work, we'll have to eat it, you know, do it then. I just think it's going to be less of a burden to the general public and the user groups overall.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
Can y'all weigh in on how would that look?
Well, we know that a 52% reduction met the requirements, right? However, we anticipated that there would be some reduction within the 2019 calendar year. If we delay this until November, we certainly won't have any reduction this calendar year. So that would certainly adjust the timeline moving forward. We'd be starting at a lower level of spawn and stock biomass, and we'd have to rebuild that within the next 9 years because the calendar would start in 2019. So Laura Lee would certainly have to go back and look and see what that projection would look like moving forward to see if we met the 10-year rebuilding schedule.
What I'm proposing is that at the November meeting, we're going to vote this at least this in, and we do it. You know, we'd immediately implement it December the 1st. I should have added that. I'm sorry.
You can amend it if Sam agrees with it.
Yeah, we need some implement. I mean, if we implement it December the 1st,
Mark?
A clarification. 52% reductions, since that's a single number, is that meant to be throughout next year as well?
That they will have to come up with that's just for 2019, they're going to have to come up with the appropriate numbers to match.
So the 52% right now, based on a start in 2019, the 52% is the threshold to end overfishing in 2 years and to rebuild the stock in 10. So that would change, I think.
But how can we have a 52% reduction in 2019 if we don't put this into effect until November 1st when the season, or December 1st when the season's closed? That's impossible, right?
Right. That's what Mike said. You'd be looking at 9 years.
Yeah, you only get a partial credit. I understand that.
Well, not only would you be looking at 9 years, the clock to end over fishing would start in 2019. So that would give us next year to end over fishing as well. Right? That two-year time frame.
So it would need to be implemented in 20. Is that what you're saying? To start the clock? So that's another question, discussion. We're talking about if we're going to vote this in now, even the other proposal. If we're going to vote this in now, you're telling me that we've got to be the 2 year clock will end at the beginning of 21, because what you're telling me now is 1 year starts in 19. I mean, it would actually be the end of 21, not the beginning of 21. There's still a 2 year calendar. Either way, that has to be right. No, it don't have to be right.
Yeah, I would have to confer with Catherine and Kat to get the correct answer for that.
Yes. Kat.
This is probably not going to help, but... So when we talk about these projections, they are projections, and they're not really that precise. December, January, I mean, it's kind of 6-1, half dozen of the other, really, when you get right down to it. I think the main point I think that Cameron was making is the reductions, once you... And the numbers are what they are. But if you start with 52%, the 52% threshold number was if we implemented management measures in 2019. If we start in the end of 2019 or 2020, really doesn't make a hill of beans difference, I don't think. You're not going to get you're not going to meet the threshold, I don't think. And according to Laura, you may have to go with something closer to 60-some percent. That's just a guess, but it certainly won't be 52%.
So what you're telling me is the 52% number was designed to be implemented prior seasonal this year to meet the reductions. See, that's never really been quantified either in a lot of discussion. I mean, but I understand what you're saying now, because that, you know, it, all we kept hearing was 52%, you know, implemented 52%. It never was a quantified time frame really to end this.
Right.
What you're saying is pre-season this year.
Well, yeah, and we understood from the projections, and because the recreational fishery is already going on, and so is the commercial fishery to a certain level, that we most likely weren't going to reach those numbers this year. We have been very upfront about that. So we understand what we're dealing with and implementing this partway through the year.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just looking, you know, I'm looking at a number that was out there that we basically thought would could be implemented at this time. So, I mean, I'm open to a percentage change if we can delay it to let them get some of this fall, if it works out with the math. I don't have a problem with that.
So, I think, and I would defer to counsel on this, to Sean.
That's my question.
Okay. The Andover fishing in 2 and rebuild in 10 is based on the date of the adoption of the plan, is my understanding.
That's right.
So if you adopt in December, you actually begin a time when you're going to get no reductions. I think you're almost better off to go into, if you want to kick it down the road, you're better to go into 2020.
Okay.
Because it's from the date of the adoption of that plan. Now, I also want to say that I, as a director, do not get any proclamation authority back to do any temporary management to try to save us anything during this year until you move to adopt the plan. So I don't see this as that. I see this as a motion to postpone. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So.
Okay. Thing.
Well, so you're telling me that the December 1, irregardless if this passes or not, is not necessarily the play. It needs to be in January because the two-year reductions would start then instead of... I know, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, but if it... But what I'm... No, it starts when the plan's implemented.
When it's adopted.
When it's adopted.
Right. Yeah.
So all I'm trying to figure out is, I'm just trying to figure out a parameter of what's best to work within with this. That's all. I'll tell you what, I'm going to amend it one more time, Sam, then I'm going to shut up. Amend it to January 1, 2020.
Sam, are you good with that amendment?
All right.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to add one thing. You know, all these numbers, I mean, I know we all know this, but they are based on the other states also implementing, and they're not going to implement very quickly, certainly not this year. So, you know, it's kind of null and void that we're actually doing anything or going to have that 50% probability if these states don't start the same time we do. So that's my biggest concern for this. I can't understand how we've got denied our state stock. We went to the multi-stock assessment, and now we have a single state regulatory mechanism. So that's kind of that's where I'm at with this.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion on this? Mark, and then Cameron. Okay.
This is directed towards director. I know, you're just walking.
Don't go far.
My understanding is that adoption of this amendment will be immediately followed by working with Amendment 3, where we'll be able to reassess and look at a variety of approaches. Is that correct?
Correct.
And delaying adoption means we delay moving towards Amendment 3?
Well, we're going to have to go back and do some recalculations.
You got to adopt Amendment 2 before we can do Amendment 3.
That's what I was saying. You got to adopt Amendment 2 before we can move to Amendment 3.
Right.
Plus, the grill in the room is the fact that we, by court case settlement, we cannot do anything further on Flounder until Amendment 2 is adopted. So he has no proclamation authority at this time once we adopt this, his proclamation authority is reinstated.
Thank you. Being one of the two new people in the room, I just want to make sure I understood.
Yeah. All right. Cameron?
So to clarify, though, like if we push this back and we do go on and Amendment 3 is still proceeding under what numbers? 2017 terminal year? So we are essentially increasing our reductions still because we're delaying action. So our reductions are just going to continue to get higher as we kick the can down. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we would anticipate, because if we allow 2019 to continue as is, depending on how the landings turn out, right? In theory, we'd be starting from a smaller spawning stock biomass, right?
Right.
And because we're starting from a smaller biomass, it's going to create the need for a larger reduction to rebuild within that 10-year time frame.
Right. So, and then, does the division, what is the division? I mean, what do y'all think about something like this?
New microphone.
Along with those buzzards I asked about, yeah.
We're working on it. So I think we support our management measure of a 62 and a 72% reduction the way we've come. That's what the science backs. We'd like to save as many fish as we can this year. We know we're not going to get that full 62% reduction. But we would like to save those fish as much as we could. But, you know, as Mike inferred, this does meet if we came back with amended numbers of a threshold and a target, you know, those would meet the criteria under law to end overfishing and rebuild at 10. But they are going to be, you know, higher than a 52-72, and then it's up to you whether you want to choose to manage to the threshold or choose to manage to the target. But your point, Mr. Romano, is well taken, and that's what creates a wrinkle in this. But we do have that; we still have that statutory requirement, and there's nothing in the life history of this fish that says this fish can't rebound if we take these measures, and so. You know, I think our charge was in February 2018. Our charge was to come back to the commission in February of 2019 with management measures. And as Commissioner Cross indicated, that's a very short timeline for us. Our stock assessment was not even completely updated by then. So this is kind of what we had as a seasonal approach. So, but I think, you know, this is really up to you. We're willing to work with you any way you can, but we would really urge the importance of, you know, saving as many fish as we can and making sure that we're within the threshold and the target when we're done. So,
okay. Any other discussion on this motion? Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clarifying question to staff. A minute ago in your presentation, you indicated that you predicted 40-some percent reductions this year if implemented as such in the prescribed measures. Is that correct? You're predicting 40-some percent in each sector, some number in 40.
Yeah, around 44 for the recreational and 47 or so for the commercial. That's correct.
Okay. So coupled with no reductions down the rest of the state, you're going to move that number even lower, I would assume, you know, because we're not necessarily going to see reductions down the coast at all this year. So I'm assuming we're getting down in closer to 40, 30-some percent. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not familiar, but I think we're looking at what we think we're going to do 62 and 72 right off the bat, but it's not going to equate to anything near that. But the burden, I think, will fall more on the user groups than anything else because of what's prescribed and what we and what the division has prescribed of what we, you know, probably should look at doing. And I say that because, you know, with a three flounder stock, mixing stock in our waterway, we're still going to lose access recreationally to our summers and our gulfs. So that's going to entirely put them out of play. Then we lose access, the recreational crowd will lose access immediately to the summer, to the southerns. So they're immediately going to lose all their fish at this year. So I think it's going to be, you know, so far as getting anything done significant, I don't think we're gonna get anything significant done by doing anything right this second anyway. I don't know what the correct way forward is. It's such a complex issue. I've thought about this every direction, every which way, had many conversations. You know, and I just can't seem to wrap my head around what path forward other than slowing down a little bit. I guess what I'm saying is I wish we would have taken a step back initially, allowed staff to work a little further and a little longer, and coordinated just a little more on management options that made more sense. Because this just isn't making sense for me. And it's not making sense for everybody else in the public either. You know, I've had many conversations, both recreational and commercial, and I just don't see many people getting along with this. So, yeah, I'm tangled up, and I'm telling, you know, my fellow commissioners that I'm tangled up over here because I can't see a path forward that's productive. And you know, I want to do what's right by both sectors. You know, and I've questioned what to do about the summers and the gulfs because I would really like for the recreational crowd to continue to access them fish. However, you know, there's an educational disadvantage, I guess, toward identification here. And there's a big worry that there'll be a lot of warning or a lot of tickets issued because, you know, as these people are checked coming and going, they're not, you know, necessarily going to have the correct identifications. And you know, switching gears to the commercial side, you got pound netters that may not even get to set their nets because the dates provided aren't going to allow them to recoup the money they even had to invest to set the nets. I just want to address my concerns, and I'm not sure where I stand with this, you know, the whole deal right now. But I wish, and I just want to convey that I wish we were given more time. I wish staff was given more time to come back with options that made more sense. So.
Okay. Anybody? Steve.
Yeah, just point of clarification. If this motion were to fail and there was a motion for a 62-72, the way that I've discussed with staff last night, that I think the best way for us to convey that would be we would put a proclamation out sometime in the middle of next week and then provide people a week to, you know, before we closed both seasons. So we would sort of have a proclamation in the August 27-28 time period with a closure date around September 4th, 5th, somewhere in that area. So I just wanted to throw that out for.
All right, Tom.
So one of the things everyone's struggling with is we heard an inordinate amount of public comment. With some, for example, on the one of the recreational guys said, at least as we're evaluating our seasons for next year, those of us who fish on the weekends take that into consideration. That's a little more work. A Saturday is not going to be the same as a Tuesday, but on the other hand, we should be able to figure it out. And I'm believing that under the plan as we had proposed it, that there will be the ability to for the director and staff to actually be to be adaptive within the within the reduction percentages on setting those schedules. Otherwise, we appear to be completely tone deaf, and that's a bad place for this commission to be. You know, we heard as much from the public on this issue with some good comments as we have on any. It concerns me deeply that we are impacting people's lives based on 2007, based on a rushed process that I'm not pointing staff on, because they were rushed by actually prior members of this body. But we find ourselves here and now, and you know, we do, you know, forgetting about it's not an option, as I often say on things. We have an issue we need to address. We have a statute that I do think, Mike, that one of the pieces we need to always remember is it is, counsel, unless I'm wrong, it is 2 years from the date of enactment, and we've been acting as if it's 2 years from the date of the beginning of this year. And so that would change the numbers along the way. But again, I'm committed to supporting what the division proposes, but I'm going to ask us all to be a little more sensitive to the human element of our scientific data, because I feel like the data ends up being tone deaf to human needs. And the perception that we're closing recreational and letting commercial go, the division and the department are going to have to do a significant job messaging this, and a press release is not sufficient. Because, when you create, we're trying to build bridges, and we run the risk of being tone deaf and creating divides because people aren't going to pay attention. They don't, the average fisherman just wants to fish. They come, they've got their trip planned, and they didn't see this coming. Some of us did, but frankly, it's still, it's come along pretty quickly here. So again, I'm supportive, but I'm going to challenge all of us to get on with Amendment 3 and get back to, I believe with the proclamation authority, at least my understanding is the director can, if we see unforeseen consequences or needs through weather or schedules and others, we can be a little more attentive to the human needs along the way. But I do want us all to be mindful that we've gotten an awful lot of public comment. A lot of it, the expected normal stuff, but then there was a lot of really good thought out comments that we've heard, and I'm going to encourage all of us to pay good attention to that, because we are impacting people's lives, and we're impacting people's lives and economies based on, if I felt stronger about exactly where we were on the percentages, I don't feel like we have the data points to say 46 versus 43. That may be what the model comes out at, but that's, we're dealing with variables in here, and our ability to get to within a 50% likelihood of success, if I remember reading correctly, still is dependent on other states' actions. And I'm not, that's not a reason for us not to do something, but I'm just saying we do need to be mindful of the hardships we're putting on to people all across our state. That said, forgetting about it's not an option, we have to do something. But as we move out of this to minimize the impact on people's lives, we need to do it as quickly as possible.
Okay, we have a motion with a proper second on the floor. Is there any further discussion on this motion, realizing that it takes a supermajority to pass? So all in favor of this motion, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 2.5 maybe. It's slow getting it up. Okay, all opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So the motion fails 3-6. The chair would like to entertain a motion to accept Amendment 2. There's a motion by Pete. Is there a second? Cameron's going to second it. DMF Amendment 2. It's not a proposal anymore. It's not really a draft anymore either, is it?
No, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And change approved to adopted. Adopt, please. Pete, Cameron, y'all okay with changing approved to adopted? Okay. Okay, there's a motion with a proper second on the floor. Discussion, Doug. Mike. I know.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about maybe the seasonal flexibility piece of this amendment. It's my understanding that there could be seasonal flexibility commercially here. And my main concern really falls with the pound netters. So if I could, I'd like to make a motion to amend. I'd like to make a motion to amend to allow seasonal flexibility to be determined by proclamation by the Director of Marine Fisheries.
We'll be glad to entertain that. Hold on a second, we've got suits talking. But I think that's kind of an understood thing that he can do anyway.
I just wanted to make sure just, that we can
that's
find some common ground.
Right, okay, all right.
I'm sorry.
I'm not tearing Amendment 2 apart. I'm just trying to...
I think what would make this slide better is as long as the 72% reductions were met.
Absolutely. I'm not making this motion to tear Amendment 2 apart. I'm just there's in Amendment 2 there's tables already established by the division that allows seasonal flexibility, and I just wanted to make sure, because as the recommendation reads right this moment, it prescribes seasons.
Right.
You know, very prescriptive seasons. And I would like for the director to be able to change by zone seasonal flexibility based on migration patterns and requests from fishermen in those zones.
More or less making a statement that we are willing to look at those and we are willing to be flexible with the dates.
Right. Okay. As long as it stays within this prescribed table.
72%. Yeah.
Of 62% and 72%. I'd like to hear for there be flexibility in start dates.
Okay.
Based on the season start date table 5 within Amendment 2.
Okay. There's a motion to amend. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All right. Discussion. Go ahead, Sam.
I'm not going to speak for Mike here, but, you know, the reasoning for this is it's just like a lot of things we put forward, there's a lot of unintended consequences, and a lot of consequences nobody here would stand for. We had a public comment from the Ocracoke Fish House that basically, you know, they're going to be doing something unsafe during the hurricanes, you know, peak of hurricane season. They'd rather not. And so I think, you know, we got to be, you know, if we're going through with Amendment 2, we have to be cognizant of that, you know.
Cameron.
Just to propose to this, would you be willing for it to say to allow seasonal flexibility in the commercial and recreational sector?
Sure. Okay. You good with that change to that? Okay.
Absolutely. I have no issues making any flexibility on either side of the ball here. I mean, you know, I just want this to be as flexible as possible. I want to achieve the reductions, but I want it to be as cushioned as we can possibly get it. Right. And I want to move in a good direction here. I don't want to move in some direction where we're locked in completely for another 2 or 3 years until the staff is able to put options together to bring back to us so we can further, you know, take care of our fishers, right. You know. And because right now we're trying to take care of our stock. And we're hoping that other states will jump on board based on this action. And I think staff did a very good job of outlining season dates and putting together what anticipated reductions could be based on season start dates. And so I'd like to use this table. I'd like the director to be able to use this table and establish dates that are going to be more comfortable for the fishermen.
Right.
So that's my only intent for this amendment.
And I'm sure you want to make the statement, too, that we are sensitive to the user group's needs.
Absolutely.
And we're trying to.
We are. I know I am. I can't speak for the rest of the commission members, but I know I am.
I believe we are on that page. I believe we are. Yeah. All right. So right now we've got staff.
This is just something very simple, and I apologize, but if we go up to the motion that was made to accept Amendment 2,
yes.
Can we delete DMF and insert Southern Flounder?
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah, adopt the or the DMF Southern Flounder Amendment 2. No, yes.
Yeah, it's.
Okay.
It's the commission's amendment.
It is true, yeah. Okay. It is by MFC, not DMF. As proposed. Okay, we're good with that. Okay, all right. What now? Yeah. Cameron Peach, all good with the change. Okay. All right, first off, we're going to vote on the amendment to the motion. Is there any other discussion on the amendment to the motion? Okay. Not being. Okay. Okay.
Point of clarification: is this going to require a supermajority to amend this to amend the main motion?
No.
No.
Man, one word. How many times the lawyer said one word? Okay. So we have the motion on the floor to amend the motion. So all in favor by hands, raise your hand that approves the amendment. All opposed, passes 9-0, the amendment to the motion. Now back to the therefore amended motion. The as written up there with the amendment attached to it. Okay. All right, is there any other discussion on the main motion, Doug?
I just want us all to be really on top of what's going to happen with this as far as the other states. If we don't get cooperation from the other states, this is going to fail. There's no way North Carolina can restock this species by ourselves. And I know that's not our charge to make the other states come in compliance, but I'm telling you, if they don't come back with appropriate measures to match what we're doing, this is going to fail the 2-year, 10-year statute. So you better go ahead and wrap your heads around when Steve comes back to us after these meetings that they're going to have next week and whatnot, how we're going to amend further once we cross that threshold and they come back and say, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. you better be wrapping your heads around how we're going to make them, if possible, come in compliance and be thinking about the Mid-Atlantic states, because we're not going to do it with this here. We cannot do it on our own. I mean, I know the numbers may suggest it, but it's not going to happen. So you just, you better be prepared to where we go for next.
Okay. Cameron.
But how would we do it with 52% that you proposed a minute ago?
Percentage out the window, moratorium, whatever. I'd take a moratorium if I thought that's what it took. If these other states don't comply and come in line with us, that's going to fail. A moratorium would probably fail with X number of years. We cannot rebuild this stock on our own. It's a multi-state species that needs to be managed with a multi-state approach.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
All right. Any other discussion on the amended motion?
If I have an amendment for this, or I can do it separate afterwards as a ask of the director, how would you like me to do that?
Let's go ahead and vote on this, and then if you got something to add to
it's
it.
It's very minor. So,
okay,
yeah.
let's just go ahead and get this over with. Okay, show by hands. All in favor of the motion as amended, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. Opposed? 1, 2, and 1 abstain. Oh, 3. Okay. Okay. So passes 6-3. All right. Now, you have another motion you would like to make.
I just motioned to ask the director. To issue a proclamation. Or to consider a proclamation for the 4 higher charter captains, allowing them 4 fish per vessel per day, May 1st to November 1st. Four higher charter captains. Four fish per vessel per day. May 1st to November 1st.
You're talking about southern flounder.
Southern flounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, 4 southern flounder. Delete fish per vessel per day. And I can clarify if there's a second. It's just an ask to consider. It's not a direct you to do this. And I can clarify.
Yeah.
Good. So would you mind removing southern? Because we don't.
We don't do them separate. Yeah, flounder. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there's a motion on the floor, and there's a...
It will need to say, allow them to possess 4 flounder per vessel per day. How would I word it? So it's outside of the prescriptive recreational season. So I guess that would say...
I think that's saying it.
May 1st to November 1st, when the recreational season is... It's because I want them to be able to fall into recreational limits when the recreational season's open. So,
okay, I'll see what you're
when the recreational season is closed. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, is that motion as you...
Yes.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Council recommended, since it's outside the recreational season, to remove the dates, possibly.
Okay. Per day when the recreational season is closed, I'm fine with that.
The director was just given some flexibility on when that season is going to...
Okay.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Is there a second to the motion? Second. Okay.
Yeah, from discussion.
Great. Second by Mike. Okay, discussion. Martin.
This is really just simply asking the director to do something he may or may not.
He may or
do
may
it.
Not.
Exactly. So I wonder if this is really should be a motion or simply a resolution. We're a resolution where we simply urge.
I guess you could do it either way, but.
In the past, we've asked.
We've just done motions. We've really not done any true resolutions. Doug?
Matt, when you're. So. You're recommending they, and I know what you're saying, it's not a bad idea, but that's going to count against a recreational quota.
Yeah, and I'll highlight what that is here in just a sec.
Okay, I'm just saying that, you know, what you're proposing, and I understand where you're coming from, and it's, okay, that's what I need to know.
All right, okay. Mike.
Yeah, I'm glad Cameron brought this forward, and because there's a lot of talk around different tables about what to do to separate for hire into its own category. Me being commercial, I kind of, share their same sentiment that they kind of need their own little pile of fish to work on sometimes. And sometimes I think it could be to their benefit. Sometimes I think it could be to their detriment. But that's just another conversation. But I do think that if you are a for-hire charter captain, that you're responsible, that you should be, I'm saying should be, when you possess that license, responsible enough to identify flounder properly. And going back to my point about, the non-oscillated versus oscillated flounders, a lot of the charter fishermen down below, and I call down below, below Hatteras, because I live above Hatteras, and that's what we say, down below. So a lot of the wreck fishermen down below, they catch a lot of the summer and the Gulf flounder species. And I really hate to take their business from them that they've worked diligently to establish. It takes a lot of time to establish their customer base. It takes years and years for them to really grind into their business and to get their business established. And I feel that for them. I really do. And to take fish away from them when they could responsibly harvest in the waterways, especially in the outside waterways, some oscillated flounders, I think would be a reasonable request. Now, I've had conversations with staff. Some say, yeah, we probably can do it. Some say, I don't think we can. That's for them to determine if they're going to sit around the table and talk about it, if the motion, were to pass and they do need to consider it. So I don't think this is a terrible idea of a request outside the bound of the amendment. And I don't know how council feels, but I think it's reasonable to request something like this.
Okay. Just to compliment staff, so I asked a minute ago what the harvest was in 2017 on southern flounder in charter boats for the entire year. It was 1,970 pounds. So we're talking, and that's with a four fish per person limit. So we're not talking but, sub 1,000 pounds of fish here. We're not of a, million pound allocation. This is percentage of a percent right here.
I think we've gotten kind of a bad rap as being tone deaf to the user groups, which I think these two things that we've done here have shown that we are not tone deaf, but our primary focus is the resource, and if we can adjust it for better use by the user groups, we'll do it. Okay, any other discussion on this motion? Yes, sir.
Just a point of clarification back to the oscillated versus the non-oscillated species. In this motion, it just says flounder, okay? And I don't know if this motion allows for the flexibility that you're asking for, in my opinion. I'm focused on the summers and gulfs here. I know that those stocks are healthy, they're viable. I know that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to create a path forward, help you create a path forward here. And I'm not sure if this motion captures the full intent of maybe what you're trying to do. So Just a point of clarification on that from somebody in staff, maybe an opinion from staff on the motion, if that's okay, or
sure.
From council.
Right now, the division is regulating recreational flounder as a whole, all three of them. Commercially, they do it differently. That would have to be a change to really focus in on that, which, you know, maybe so. Sam.
My concern with this is it seems like that it would come across to the general public or the general recreational fisherman that, yeah, you can keep a flounder if you take a charter. And I just don't think the optics of that is going to resonate well with the public. You know, I feel like, and I know it's just a little bit, but it's more of a principle thing. You know, if you're a dedicated fisherman and, you know, you think you're just as professional as a charter guy or you know, whatever, it's just the fact that they're making money is why we're doing this, is because they have a business interest, or maybe somebody can clarify.
Yeah, so when I first started thinking about this, I had the same thought. And if from both recreational fishermen and in the rec industry side, this at least gives the rec fishermen an opportunity outside of the year. It is, granted, it's outside of the normal, but at least they could say on July 4th, man, I really want to go catch a flounder. At least there's an avenue to possibly do that, where what we have now, the recs have a six-week opportunity. This gives them an opportunity, albeit it's with a for-hire charter guide, but at least it opens up a little bit of opportunity for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Were you going to comment on the ocean fishery and...
In what way?
Sorry. Do you have any plans to address that the recreational crowd cannot keep summer or gulf flounder?
So right now... Remember what the intent of what we're trying to do here is, to get as many fish offshore as possible. Right now, we would look at Amendment 3 to look at species, breaking down by species, summer and southern. And so that's something we definitely want to look at in the future, so that we could have maybe an oscillated bag limit or something like that.
Right.
For the recreational side, yeah.
But you'd leave the ocean commercial fishery open, the 100-pound a day?
No, my intent with that would be, in the spirit of trying to get as many fish offshore as possible, would be to limit that 100-pound a day by proclamation to the trawl fishery, so that we don't have dead discards in that fishery. And we really have not much at all in that.
Right.
So, but that sort of eliminates, you know, people going out and sticking flounder on near shore reefs and things like that for on the commercial side.
Okay. So, Doug, you want first?
Cameron, I don't have a problem with your motion at all, and I didn't even think about what a user group conflict till Sam just brought it up within your user group. So, I just want to make that point.
Okay. Sam.
Yes, this is a question. Would you all expect that 1,900 pounds to increase based on the adoption of Amendment 2 and if we were to go through with something like this?
Possibly.
So let me just... The 1,900, so to look at the 1,900 right now, that, you know, that included four fish per person per day. You know, that was, we're operating, so already we've cut that down to four total for the boat. So it's already taken a reduction. It's not saying every angler on the boat can keep four fish. It's saying the boat could keep four fish. So that's the first. I think it's, let's say it doubles even still and goes to 4,000 pounds, which I think is significant. We're still talking about, I'm looking at the numbers here, I mean, less than 1% Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on this? If not, we'll do this by show of hands. All in favor of this motion, raise your hand. All opposed? Okay, there are two opposed. There's one, two, three, four. Wait, try it again. All's count. All in favor, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five in favor, opposed, two opposed, and one abstention. Two abstentions, excuse me. So motion passed. All right. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, before moving on from Flounder, I have one motion I'd like to offer.
Really?
Yes. It is not a contentious, but I promise, hopefully it's not contentious at all. I just want to bring forward one issue that I would like to address, hopefully through motion, and another ask of the director. It's just an ask motion. Under 15A NCAC 03J.0501.
Would you repeat that one more time? Our council wants to write that down.
I'm sorry, I was moving a little fast for you, huh? Okay, 15A NCAC 03J.0501. B2, because that's what it is. No. There's not a motion yet. I hadn't prepared the motion, so I just wanted to just highlight a talking point quickly before I make the motion. It reads, it is unlawful for a pound net used in a commercial fishing operation to fail to be operational for a minimum of 30 consecutive days during the pound net set permit period unless a season for the fishery for which the pound net set is permitted is ended earlier due to a quota being met. Now, my concern here is that if we severely restrict the flounder seasons, there possibly are going to be pound netters to not set nets. So I would like to make the motion to ask the Director of Marine Fisheries to suspend Rule 15A NCAC 03J.0501 and then B2, and those are in
parentheses.
Yeah.
Brackets.
It's two brackets. By proclamation.
Would you prefer it up there or the council to read?
Well, how long? I mean, it just helps me to read something rather than.
Four lines.
Four lines. Or just let me hold the book. I mean.
Okay. Pass them the book.
Hey, Rob, the street, read it.
Let's just read it for everybody. Council, that's what you get paid for.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to get away with just that one word. It is unlawful for a pound net used in a commercial fishing operation to, and jump down to number two, fail to be operational for a minimum of 30 consecutive days during the pound net set permit period unless the season for the fishery for which the pound net set is permitted is ended earlier due to a quota being met.
Steve, you got it. First off, we've got a motion. Is there a second to this? Looking for a second. Second by Sam. Okay.
Yep. Mr. Chair, if you can give me a minute or two to talk with staff.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Yes. Again. Okay.
I just have a clarification.
All right. Let's see what they say, and then we'll come back and do it. stretch your legs, but seriously, 5 minutes, we got to move on and we got to get out of here. Okay, we're ready to get back with things.
I'm starting to get a little cool myself. All this hot air, that's kind of surprising.
Okay. Well, then shut up. Okay. Tom, you coming? All right, great. Okay. I think Mike wants to make an amendment to his motion with Sam's approval.
Yeah, if Sam would allow, I'd like to amend my motion to say, to ask the DMF director to consider. Hold on, I'm not done.
Not done yet.
Suspend that. You could add all sorts of stuff.
To consider, or this, I'm jammed up right now, but we can work it out. An exception to 15A NCAC 03J, blah, 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 it's up there, for existing flounder pound net sets. And I don't know if I need to clarify by proclamation.
That's the only way he could do it.
Yeah, so. I don't know if that's clarifying language or if you need that in there.
That's the only way he could do it, really. Okay, Sam, are you good with that change? Okay.
Is staff good? You're okay with that? Are we going to be allowed to make exceptions to this rule based on this motion?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good enough. Motion up there, proper second. Any other discussion? If not, by hands. All in favor, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, Cameron. Okay, 7-4. Opposed, raise your hand. And 2 abstentions, I guess. Robert, are you going to abstain? Okay, all right. So 7-0-2. Is what the vote count is. Yes. All right. Good enough. Anything else with flounder? Oh, God bless, really.
I just wanted to let everyone know, probably listening in, or, you know, it's brought up pretty much at every meeting, but there's, you know, experts have found that there's likely or possibly a spawning stock offshore, and you know that would change all these projections. And you know the commercial fishing license resource fund, we're funding with the help of Mike program to start tagging these fish so we can get a better hold on it. And I think that that's a really good step. It's a proactive step, and I just wanted to make that known.
Okay. Good enough. Okay, anything else I'm afraid to ask? If not, thank you all very much. It's been a lot of work, and your efforts have not gone unnoticed, and we do appreciate what y'all have done.